Father, we thank you today that because you have been accepted as the beloved, accepted by the Father, overcome all things, so we too in Christ are also accepted. And because of that acceptance, we are here today to be fed, nourished, nurtured, encouraged. And Lord, may your word do that now, because the word gives life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to speak today on something that the Lord has been confirming. And today the title, for those that write this down, are we running from the light? Are we running from the light? I want us to just look at something very, very familiar, we know very well. In Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, and I want just to open this up looking at verses 4 to 11 of Genesis chapter 3. And here it is dealing with the temptation and the fall of man. And in it we take it up in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 3. And then he says here, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' And then the man says, and goes on and makes all the excuses, 'It's the woman you gave me,' and so it goes on. Something interesting here. He says, 'Who told you that you were naked?' Well, nobody told them. The serpent didn't tell them that if you take of this fruit, you will be naked. So something told them that they were naked. What told them that they were naked? Light. Light told them that they were naked. And so we see that God is light. Pure, holy, undefiled light. But God's light will burn anything because it is so holy. Nothing can stand actually in the very presence of God. And although we need that light, yet that light, the holiness of God, revealed in his light something that man should not have seen, shouldn't have known. He was created, as we know, innocent. And so in that innocence, he could enjoy God's presence, not bothering about clothes or what he was to eat or all the things that we now become anxious about. No, he wasn't to be consumed or concerned about any of those things. Yet the presence of the Lord, we're told, was there in the cool of the evening. And they hid from God. What are they hiding from now? Light. the light of God, Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ there, dwelling, fellowshipping with man. Now man, instead of enjoying that light, is now running away from that light. Yet it took light also to tell him that he was naked, which is interesting. He wouldn't have known otherwise. He would have just stayed in his sin and immortal state. Now the Bible reveals much about God's light. It reveals metaphorically about his light. God revealed himself as light to Israel. The Shekinah glory shone over the tabernacle, the presence of God. God's light led a nation, a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. Again, speaking of light, many times the angel of the Lord appeared as a light to saints, and they would fall down prostrate before that light. It speaks right in the beginning of God creating, and on the fourth day he created light and he created night, and he divided the two. Now what is that light depicting? It is depicting his light. So every light that we see is a manifestation from the eternal light, the source of God who is light, eternal light. And so that is a reflection of himself. And without a reflection of himself, we are lost. And so we know the story, of course, that when Adam sinned, God had to clothe him, which was the first shedding of blood there to atone, to bring him back into a standing before God. Why? Because God knows that man needs that light to survive, to see, to live, to exist. Planet Earth needs light. Vegetation needs light to survive. We need light. You stay for too long in darkness and you become weak, ineffectual, because we feed from the sun vitamin D that is essential for a healthy, vital body. And so we're going to look at these areas of light, these lights that are seen, that the Bible shows, which are all a reflection of God. But Jesus said, "Let there be light. The Lord is my light and my salvation." There's much in the Bible that speaks about the light. He's a light to my path, which speaks of my walking with God. We don't know otherwise unless he lights up our path. The Lord gives light. God said to Israel, "Let us walk in the light," he said in Isaiah 2. But Israel preferred the darkness. But he said, "Walk in the light." Jesus said, "Let your light so shine that the world may see." So this light has to shine in darkness, and it will. Jesus was the light of the world, and that light took on flesh, which we will look on later. We're called the sons of light, not the sons of darkness. And above all, God will be the eternal light and glory in heaven, where you will have no night or day, for the light, the glory of God, will so shine forever, and we will live eternally in that light which we have been predestined for. That is why we're not of the darkness, we are of the light. And God is constantly trying to remind us of this. But what do we find? We find another force that tries to draw us back into that darkness. And so there's that wrestling of keeping us in the light and trying to draw us back into darkness. Because darkness, you know, you can hide in there. And we all at times try to hide. We try to run away from God. And what always makes a saint run away from God? Sin. Unbelief. Now God has provided for this light. As I said at the beginning, that God is light. And nobody can actually stand in that light. Moses wanted to see God. But Moses had to be protected and preserved from what? The light of God's holiness and glory. He knew he would be utterly burnt up by his very presence. And so he covered him in the cleft of the rock as he moved over. No one else in the history of mankind, as far as I know, has ever got nearest to God's light as Moses did. He walked as a son before God. And what did that light do? What does it always do? It changes you. And that is why it's good. And not to be avoided or to run away from. And so, if we know what God's calling us to and for, that one day we're to rule and reign with him, that we're to walk as overcomers and so forth, then we need that light to be able to see. And brothers and sisters, we might not always appreciate this, but God calling us has drawn us into that light in order that we might see and that we might learn. And we don't always appreciate that light, and sometimes that light becomes very challenging. But it says in Proverbs 29:13, the poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. And so the Lord gives us eyes that we can see and appreciate and follow that light. So the Lord has to give that light. Why does God have to give that light? Because we're told that the God of this world, Satan, closes the eyes of the blind. He keeps their eyes closed. So he has a certain amount of power to keep eyes closed. And so in order that our eyes may be open, God says, I decree and I speak, your eyes will be opened. And he speaks the word, and our eyes were opened. That is how you see, because God spoke the word from the foundation of the world. Otherwise you don't see. You do not see this light. You may see a light. There is a light that is attached to Satan. Did you know that? He can be seen as an angel of light, but it is a counterfeit light. Did you know that the moon is a counterfeit light reflecting from the sun? It's not really the real light. It is a light, but it is not a light that we can see from. It's not a light that we can really go on a journey and follow. It's not a light that is going to cause the ground to grow and vegetation to flourish, not from that light, only from the other light source, the sun, can life form exist. And so we see these parallels. You know, nature tells us an awful lot more if we're attuned to it, and you can put these spiritual analogies to them, what is the nature of this light to us? Ecclesiastes has something to say about this. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. So he puts that parallel to the sun. But he says this light, the light of God, is also sweet. And it is to the believer who humbly walks before Almighty God. That light is sweet. You appreciate that light. That light is giving you life. It's enabling you to survive, to live, to be able to walk with God. Therefore, it is sweet. But it's not to the sinner anything but. And finally, just looking at some scriptures in this, we know this well in John chapter 1. The light of Christ to the world. We can't leave this out. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I can't understand people. You know, when you read that, it tells you exactly who Christ is. And yet they're so blind. They can only see him as a son. Well, of course he is in the flesh, but in eternity he always has been, and he's God. And a creator, and we're made in his image. And so it says here, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then it goes on about another light that God is going to shine through. And that is John the Baptist, who was revealing that true light, the forerunner. So you are revelations today of the true light that is to be found in Jesus Christ. And if it's not to be found and seen in the church of Jesus Christ, it won't be found anywhere else. Because this is where God shares his light, in the house of God. And where Israel failed, you take it up. Because they were to be a light to the Gentiles, but failed it, failed their sonship. The deeper life, I believe, is where we don't run from that light, but that it exposes, and God's love enables this to be achieved through mercy and grace. So the deeper life is that we don't run away from this light, but that this light is sweet to us, and that we retain and we remain in it. So many believers today are running out of that light and coming back into it, and running out and coming back. But the deeper life is that we might remain and stay and be resolute, destined for the holies of holies, the presence of God. Are you still finding yourself running away from that light as God is still dealing with us, exposing, getting us to bow the knee in these areas of stubbornness, resistance, where we just don't want to listen? You know, when we're doing that, we're actually running away from the light of God. We're at that point preferring darkness. And we have got today in its fullness. It's always been there, but I believe we're the generation that's seeing it now coming to its fullness, where they say darkness is light and light is darkness. And what does that create? Confusion. And what is upon the earth today? confusion, when nobody knows what they're doing, lost. And this is why we're going to see an Antichrist coming, trying to fulfill and meet those conditions, trying to be God over a world that is calling dark light and light dark. And he thinks he can be God, master over that. But he never will. Never will. But he is doing that. He is creating this utter confusion. And there is. And you hear of governments of all sorts, all trying to remedy, have the answers to this confusion, to this breakdown that in family life, all trying to come up with good ideas. I mean, they're now acknowledging the fact that it's family life that's broken down. It's parenting. But they still don't know what parenting really needs. Parenting needs the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. Parenting needs God's light. And so they always miss the source because they can't see that light, you see. They can't see that Christ should be the head of a family and a husband and wife. They can't see it unless God opens their eyes. And so they run to their psychologists and psychiatrists thinking that they have the answers, and they don't. I think at times they do more damage than good, because what they don't realize in opening man up like they do, they're opening up into demonic forces. They're spirits. And what they're doing is they're actually stirring up those spirits in people, and they become more oppressed. They're now debating whether hypnosis should be part of treatment now in the NHS. That's now being debated. That looks as though that will be accepted, that a doctor will have the powers, the authority, if need be, to hypnotize you. Little realizing that that is opening the door for more spirits to enter. The enemy knows. He knows how to do it. So I believe the deeper life is that doorway into this light that we desperately need. And we all of us have issues in our lives. We all of us got issues with the Lord. We're all of us are wrestling with God over some areas in our life that God is trying to get us into the light, his light, to be healed and delivered. You see, his light is exposing sin in us. Light has to first come into the house of God. That Shekinah glory has to shine over us, as it did over Israel. And that is why we see in the book of Acts, where God's light was over the church then at that time, they did two things. They either ran from it or they ran into it. That's what you saw. But you don't see that today, because there's so much confusion. You see, man's biggest battle in this area is his pride. And this is where the cross will work and expose it. Pride will always resist God's light, because pride wants a false light. That's the nature of pride. And so pride will say, where there's light, it's darkness. And pride will say, where there's darkness, there's light. And it's got it completely round the wrong way, because pride won't let you see. And so as we humble ourselves in the presence of God, and as he works with us both to will and do for his good pleasure, which he is, so we then begin to see that light, and you think to yourself, why on earth didn't I see that before? How could I be so stupid? But it's the light that suddenly kind of turned on that you see, that you couldn't see before. And I believe the Lord is challenging us to have our eyes open, that he wants us to see as he sees. And there's nothing like that. When we see as God sees, my goodness me, the church is going to move forth in that great anointing that he has for her. Because we've got to see as God sees. And that is our biggest challenge we face now in, I believe, this last lap. And I believe as we take that challenge on and don't run away from it, then we're going to start to see as the church should see. And so he's challenging us to have our eyes open. And to have our eyes open, we first have to see ourselves and what is in these hearts and what they're capable of doing. So that that light, his light, cleanses us. You see, God isn't going to open our eyes unless he provides for that. Because as I said at the beginning, otherwise it burns us up. And so as God opens our eyes, that provision is healing, deliverance. That's what will follow. In order that you can walk and sustain and keep in that light. And he uses those spiritual trials and those physical trials. He uses that chastening to get our attention for us to truly see. That is why we have to go through much trial and tribulation. That is why some of us are going through trials, because those trials are so designed by God, permitting and allowing us to go through what we're going through, because he wants our eyes to be opened to his light. And the only way we're truly going to see that light and respond to that light and receive that light is that he's going to have to allow us to go through that trial. And some of those trials can be spiritual buffetings. Some of those trials can be physical trials. Trials of all sorts, of all nature. But they are for a reason, because at the moment we are running away from the light. And we know in our hearts we are. We know it. We don't need any revelation. It's like I just can't take that light. It's just too bright. It's too demanding. I just feel happier somehow slipping off into darkness. And that's what sin does. But you see, one of the things we don't realize is that God's well able to shine his light in darkness. And that's what he does. And the only way you come out of darkness, where you're trying to feel comfortable and secure, and that's all a lie, by the way, is that God shone his light into darkness at that point. We have to dare Laodicean spirit that attacks the church. And that Laodicean spirit is a spirit in such a way which we know it's compromise. But compromise is where you know what the light is saying, but you're running away from that light. And somehow you'll deal with that light tomorrow. Somehow that light that I'm to walk in, when I'm ready, I'll walk in that light. But you see, that's not on God's terms. And that's what that Laodicean spirit feeds off. And so as God says, you're neither cold nor hot. And because you are neither those things, he says, I will vomit, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you didn't really want to walk in that light. Oh, you confessed it, you sung about it, but in reality, you didn't really want to walk in it. And we all have to face the fact that in our flesh, there is none of us want to walk in that light. The flesh does not like that light. The flesh can't feed off that light. And we have to decide what we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work on. Now, I'm not talking of two natures here, but the Bible does show us that there is a type of higher and lower in nature that works. We are only one nature, and it will be one nature that will go into the kingdom of God, and that is a new creation in Christ. However, you can start to feed that other nature, which leads to death in that sense. So how do we walk in the light as he is light? What do we do when we find ourselves in a hopeless situation where I know what to do is right, I know theologically, scripturally that it's right, but to do it, there is something else that wars against me, that hinders me, that stops me, that I find myself in a dilemma? Well, that is where the bowing of the knee comes in. That is where the cross that we daily take up comes. That is where we have to be open, honest before God. God knows you can't do it. God knows that you're resisting walking in that light. Therefore, he has provided in that light. That light, if you choose to want it, that light is going to be the very means of your deliverance, your change, God's presence in your life. And we're all of us having exposures taking place. And today we live in a society and generation where we're exposed to rebellion, where rebellion at the moment is the thing. To be rebellious, you are cool. You are accepted. You're in with the rest. And it's like, you know, there's something great to be rebellious, as though you're different. What a deception. You see, to walk as a Christian, there's something wrong with you. There's something weak, ineffectual. To walk as a Christian, who wants to be like them, dowdy, boring, and so on? That is the language that this rebellious world speaks of as Christianity. That is how it sees it, because it's in the dark, you see. That is why Jesus said we are a new creation. We are his peculiar treasure, set apart unto him. I'm only interested, and my heart's desire is what pleases him, what looks right in his sight. And I can only know that when he opens my eyes to be able to see that. And each one of us is answerable to that. None of us are to stand in judgment of our brother and sister. And if we are aware that they aren't seeing as you have so graciously asked, seeing, then you stand in the gap and you pray and intercede. Father, open their eyes, Lord, in your mercy, that they may also see. Because whatever I would say, not that one is to say, they won't hear anyway. You see, I get people say to me, look, you just tell me if you see there's something wrong with me or something in my heart or whatever it is. And 9 times out of 10, I know that that would fall on deaf ears. In fact, I would say a step further, those at lesser hearts who've asked me to tell them if they see things are actually the ones who can resist the most when told. And I have learnt over the years that one, that the best thing to do is to pray, get on your knees and pray and intercede, because God knows how to show, how to reveal, you see, in his love and mercy. See, God set none of us in the church to put other people right and to set them right. Because you will find, if you do that, you've got a plank that is in your own eye. And it doesn't take long when you start to try to put people right. If you're open to God, you think, hang on a minute, we're talking about things here that I've got problem with as well. So you see, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. God knows how to get our attention, and he chastens us. And whom God chastens, that is a sign that we're his sons, daughters. That God loves us. So there's nothing wrong with being chastened, chastised. A loving father does this. And we shouldn't be shocked or surprised by this. And you know as well as I do that when God has chastened you, he's brought you back into his loving arms quicker than you can ever realize. And you know that what he has done has probably hurt him far more than it's ever hurt you. Because that is his love, you see. And so I believe, as I bring this to conclusion, I believe the church is experiencing darkness at present. And I've had this confirmed to me. And often the Lord has brought up over the years in this church the parable of the 10 virgins. We know it very well. But I do believe we are at present in darkness. There's a groping around. There is confusion. There's a lull. There's a sleepiness. There's just, I know I should be doing it, but I'm just not. It's like, Lord, unless you revive me, I remain in this sleepy, slumbering position. It's like you're almost paralyzed. It's like you're asleep, and yet you're wanting to wake up at the same time. I've occasionally experienced that, where I'm partly asleep and partly awake, and there's like something within me. I want to wake up, but I can't wake up. It's weird. And I believe the church, are in that state. But one day, the light is going to go on, this light that I speak of. And that light is going to be the lamps. But I believe that those lights are really ignited from the light that comes from the bridegroom that's now ready to come for the bride. You see, those lamps respond to the true light that is coming to marry, to take the church away. And so suddenly the lights are on. And I believe that will speak of the greater works. God manifesting himself, the Shekinah glory in the body of Christ. And those lights that are there, then the wise virgins will go on with that light because they have paid the price. They have got into the word. They have been saints who pray and intercede. That extra vessel and anointing will be there, the light to take them through. Because the 5 foolish were shown their lights go out. So that darkness again tries to engulf them. to draw them back. What is that darkness? Well, it's going to be the Antichrist trying to destroy, trying to put that light out. But the five wise virgins, their lights have enabled them to be taken up into the rapture, to be caught away. I believe truly that's how God's now beginning to show this. And it's not only that, but it's our experience. It's like you just know it. You just feel it. It's all around you. You just think, you know, everything seems spiritually dead, confused. Nobody knows where they're going. Churches haven't got leadership. It doesn't matter where it is. You can see it all around the world. And you've got people, you've got prophets trying to come up, and they think they've got the answer, you know, in their pride and arrogance. Why don't they just be honest? At least, you know, when they get up and say, folks, you know, Christ is the light of the world, but at the moment, his church is in darkness. And we're waiting for that light to revive it. I think that might get the attention of a few people. Instead of coming out with all these false lies all the time. And these revivals that they're trying to create. The Toronto so-called blessing is a man-made revival trying to revive the church. And how the devil uses it. Come like an angel of light. And people are still going out there to get zapped. I know a couple. I think they're out there now. They said to me, oh, we're going out to get zapped. I just, oh. That's the word, that's one of the words now, is to get zapped today. God help us. And they think that's the light, to get zapped. Well, there we are. Are we running from the light? There is nowhere to run. God knows that his light can burn, consume. But let that light be sweet, because God has provided for that light, and it's the blood of Jesus to cover us so that we won't be burned up. And just settle it, brothers and sisters, that you can't run away from that light. But start to bow that knee, because God's grace will be all providing in order for that light to do that work of healing and deliverance in your life, my life, and the church's life. Because it's going to be the light that is going to make the bride ready. She is made by the light of God. That provision, she makes herself ready by the light. How can she make herself ready unless she can see how to make herself ready? And so our eyes have to be open in order to be able to see. But the first thing that God has been doing over the years, and I reckon for the last 30 years, and certainly said in my life, he's been opening our eyes by his light to self first, which has not been easy. But when our eyes are fully open to self, then God will start to open our eyes to the glory and the majesty that is to be found in his church, the body of Christ. See, so many of us try to put the cart before the horse. But you've got to start with self first, the heart. And that is why the sons of Levi are being purged, being purified. Fire, light is doing it. Because we are a royal priesthood. And a priesthood has to be cleansed. Has to be made right in order to serve at the altar, spiritually speaking. And spiritually, that is what God is doing with the sons of God. Enabling us, training us, preparing us for the future. Amen? So let's run from that light. Hallelujah. Father, thank you again today. Father, we look to you. We wait upon you. There's nothing more that we can do, Father, till in that right time and way, your light will do that work. Father, I thank you today for speaking to us. Father, help us not to run away, for we all of us have our name and address on this. But Lord, do that work so that you may be glorified. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Lord, we cannot live without your presence. We would just die. And Lord, we want your presence to be with us, always with us. We want to be in your presence, not coming out and going in and coming out and going in, double-minded, just as James speaks of. So many immature Christians do that. No, sons don't do that. They remain in the presence of God. But Lord, in order to do that, we need to see. And to be able to see, we need light. And you are the light of the world. And you have lit your word up to us today in order that we may see. Thank you, Father, for this. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.